interested in going. We do need that registration turned in by this Sunday. Regularly scheduled services Sunday morning, Sunday night. Looking forward to time together. Tonight we're going to do something just a little bit different. I don't know how long we're going to do it. It's going to kind of depend on what's happening there. But many of you know that happening right now in Nashville, Tennessee, is United Pentecostal Church International. Our general conference is taking place. Today was the business meetings where they did voting on different positions. I'm happy to report to you that Brother David K. Bernard has been reelected as our General Superintendent of United Pentecostal Church International. I, for one, believe he is doing an excellent job. I believe that he is God-ordained to be there and is doing a wonderful job leading our organization. Many of the incumbents returned into office. There were just a few changes. I will say this, as far as North American missions, which is that department that oversees the expansion of churches within North America, church plants, that sort of stuff. If you had opportunity to be at Illinois District Camp this year and hear Brother Jimmy Tony preach, he is a church planter. He has planted a church in Kentucky, a very successful church, and he was elected today as a North American Missions Director. And so I'm looking forward to what's going to happen in that department, wherein someone who is a bona fide church planter is there. And so we're looking forward to that. But hopefully we're going to be able to bring it in here just for a moment. And I don't know where they're going to be in the... Yeah, if we could pull that, where they're going to be in the midst of the service. But they are offering free live streaming. So if you want to, you can go home on your computer and go. All you have to do is type in United Pentecostal Church or UPCI General Conference in the Google search engine, and then you click on a tab for live streaming, and it'll bring you in. This is Brother David K. Bernard, our General Superintendent. And it's going to buffer. Yeah, knew that was going to happen.
And hurting world. Let's send the next Ernest Collins to reach the next Quentin and Patricia Washington by giving your best gift to Christmas for Christ.
Thank you for giving to Christmas for Christ.
And I would like to say in person, thank you for giving for Christmas for Christ. A record offering, more than $600,000 more than the previous offering, $3.6 million. Christmas for Christ, North American Home Missionaries. Thank you, Brother Kuhn, Brother Hobson, Brother Armstrong, for leading the way. Thank you, United Pentecostal Church International, for rising to the challenge. Praise God. Amen. And I would like for Brother and Sister Kuhn to come up right now. They are, as you have heard, Brother Kuhn is stepping down as of the end of this year, not by our request, but he felt in the will of God that this is what he needed to do at this time in his life. We had a banquet for him with the North American Missions Directors, and we spent some time honoring him. So I won't take a lot of time tonight, except let me say sincerely, we appreciate his very hard work. Over 12 years in the North American Missions office as secretary and then as director for most of that time. He's a personal friend. We partnered together on trips, on strategies. He has a burden and a heart for missions. In fact, he's going to Springfield to build a church there, taking a small church. And so he's practicing what he's been preaching. It's been my privilege to partner with you as a friend and a colleague, Brother and Sister Kuhn, on behalf of the United Pentecostal Church International. This is small and inadequate, but thank you very much on behalf of people everywhere. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You're kind and you can be seated. One of the things they don't teach in the Deep South is how to ever accept a compliment. And so there's a part of me that ever resists the idea of having done anything that deserves even the expression or any expression of gratitude. But I could say today a great thank you for all of your kindness and the things that have been shared. I have been privileged to be part of this. I have been dependent on so many as a team. We have a board of directors that is beyond compare in some of Brother Bernard and I's interaction. I will tell him at times, both of our boards, the general board and also the board of directors of North American Missions, quite often meet in the boardroom of World Evangelism Center, and I will tell him quite often that the best board that meets in this room is the one that I get to preside over. And of course, he smiles in his own unique way. He certainly never agrees with that sentiment, but I'm so thankful for the board that has worked with me, the team, and I am very, very glad for all that has been done. The lady who stands beside me is a gracious strength in all that we have ever done. And Norma, I say thank you for all that you have been. She is probably about 90% of my ministry, and most of you preachers can understand exactly what I'm saying. Brother Bernard and Brother Jones are both personal friends. I know how full their lives are. They have blessed us in so very, very many ways. Really, the only thing that I ever thought I would be, I remember the aptitude test that they gave us when we were in about the sixth grade. And the aptitude test for me came back that I was to eventually be an electrician. It's interesting that there wasn't a preacher on the list anywhere, because the only thing that I truly ever imagined being was a preacher of the gospel. And I'm thankful for all of that. I'm thankful for every privilege that I've had. Started preaching when I was 16 years old. There was no second career choice. Been doing that for 42 years. Simply to have preached would have been enough. But I have been graced with the privilege by the Almighty and by you to have been part of a platform of influence. I'm thankful for that privilege. I stepped into this role 11 years ago feeling as though it was right. I step away today feeling that is equally as right. And to the folks back at home at Calvary, where that there is a webcast of this service going on right now, I want you to know that I feel as right coming to our church to be your pastor as I felt the day that I was asked to come to be part of World Evangelism Center. And I'm just as excited and just as thrilled by the opportunity to grow a church as I was to lead North American Missions. What a great day it is. I rejoice in the opportunities we've had, people we've saved, seen saved, the multiplication. I've rejoiced in preaching when there were four folks in the audience. There were more folks downstairs in Sunday school than there were up listening to me preach. And when I got through preaching and opened it up for questions, a little lady that was listening to me preach asked a question that had absolutely nothing to do with what I'd preached. And so I just turned it over to the pastor and said, I think that one is yours. This is a great church. I'm thankful for the United Pentecostal Church. You are my heritage. My grandfather's name is in the first listing of the directory of the United Pentecostal Church. Both grandpas were church planners. I'm thankful for that heritage. And I believe that the greatest day of the North American church lies ahead of us. There is a new Bible Belt that's being developed across the northern tier of this continent, and there's going to be great revival. This has been a great, great ride. Thank you for the privilege. Today, we elected veteran church planner Jimmy Toney as the director-elect of North American Missions. Brother Toney and his wife will be joining us on the platform. Brother Toney and his wife, as well as their daughter, if she's in the audience, Brother Toney is a preacher extraordinary. He is a preacher par excellence. He speaks to camp meetings. He speaks in youth events, General Conference Home Mission Service several years ago. But all of that, at the end of the day, in my estimation, is secondary to the fact that the young man has planted churches. Not just a church, but he has planted multiple churches. These last several years, he has gone into varied settings to teach and to train other missionaries on our behalf. It is a privilege of mine to be among the first to introduce to this fellowship as the Director of North American Missions, Jimmy Tawney, his sweet wife and their lovely daughter. We welcome them. This man and his family have my support and help in transition and beyond. We need Brother Tawney to greet us this evening. We welcome Brother Tawney, Director-elect of North American Missions.
And everybody say praise the Lord. Before you're seated, let's give one more big hand clap to Brother and Sister Coon. Can we do that? Give him honor tonight. God bless you. You may be seated. What a great honor. Give honor to Brother Bernard and Brother Jones, and the executive and general boards. I want to thank my wife and Caitlin for joining us on yet another adventure. My wife and I just celebrated 20 years of marriage. Our daughter's 17 years old, senior in high school. And what I can say about my wife and daughter is they have always loved and embraced church planting. It's never been a burden to them. It's never been about what they didn't have or what they could have had. They just loved it. I remember my daughter one time, and this is in my wife's Bible, there's a note that she, when she was just a little girl in school, she wrote a note apologizing to us for not bringing more people to church. And then when we went to start the church in Lexington, she took a bunch of my books and went door to door in our neighborhood, pulling them in a wagon, asking people if they would buy these books so we could go and start a church. I love my wife and daughter. And I think it's a great honor to follow in the footsteps of Brother Coon, to work hand in hand with Brother Hobson, Brother Armstrong and their families. The world's darkest hour needs the church's greatest power. And I believe we are standing on the threshold of the greatest apostolic revival that the world has ever seen. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and said, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." That word untoward means perverted, twisted, and crooked. And then it dawned on me, if that first generation, that first perverted, twisted, and crooked generation did not stop an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, then this 21st century twisted, perverted, crooked generation is not going to stop an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I look forward to serving the North American Missions, every church planter, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Tawney. Why don't you join us in standing? I think it is fitting that Norm and I were prayed for a little bit earlier by the World Network of Prayer Team. I think it is very fitting that this general conference, in great sincerity, not simply because we do it by protocol, but I join in what Brother Tawney said, and I join in what Brother Bernard has said in the earlier seasons of this week. This time is ripe, and it is ripe for the church. And we dare not stumble. And part of that is an anointing of God that is powerful and unique on leaders that step into such roles. Would you stretch your hand toward the front? I want you to pray a covering over Brother and Sister Tawney's daughter. I want you to pray a covering over their family. I want you to pray a unique anointing and a wisdom beyond himself. Brother Bernard, my wife, hallelujah, are going to join in praying as well. Let's pray a touch of God here right now. Lift your voices. Let's exalt the Lord Jesus with a great hand clap of praise. I will bless you, O God. 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 Hallelujah. And now that we have some protocol out of the way, we welcome you to North American Missions General Conference 2015. We're getting ready to go and reach the next one in the next town. We're going to plant the next church, and we're going to send the next preacher.
Scared of letting the family down. Scared I don't have what it takes. Scared of taking a step, only to find there's no footing.
I've been feeling this too. It's time we had a daughter work. And I've felt this about you two for a while now. And as much as we need you here, I know it's God's will. I'll help you get started. You have my blessing.
We'll be leaving our friends here, our church family. We'll be responsible for the well-being of an entire congregation. So much will change. We'll probably be lonely at times. I'm sure it won't always be easy. But I can't shake it. The calling God's placed in me. Sometimes, when I look up and see an airplane in the sky, think about who's on it, where they're going. Then I think about us, where we're going. There's a wide open field close by. There's a harvest waiting for us. We can't sit still anymore. I'm ready to go. God's looking for somebody, and I'm ready to be the next one.
I want to treat this night a little different than I have treated many when I've tried to just kind of set the ball on the tee. Sometimes there's just a moment when it's right to just have a little chat. And all of us as pastors have had those moments. It was early in the season of Christ's ministry And when you put it in perspective, Jesus had spent 30 plus years without much effect and without much impact. And then he steps on the stage and he begins to do ministry. And the Bible says that he came down to Capernaum, which was his home community, city of Galilee, a region that he was familiar with, and he taught them.
Brother Wallace is going to stay with that. Hopefully we'll get into some, not that it wasn't interesting at all, but hopefully they'll be able to get into some singing, and you guys will get kind of a more of a overlook as to general. I know just hearing somebody speak and somebody accept a position is not, I was kind of hoping that when we peeked in, it would be like going, but it's not. So he's going to wait for it to get going, if you will, and then we'll sneak back in. So don't worry, you'll stick it out of here at 8 o'clock. I won't hold you over. Maybe right in the middle of what I'm saying that I get a thumbs up from Brother Wallace and we go back into it. But I kind of want to give you guys, if you've never had the opportunity to go to a general conference, it is a unique opportunity to go and be a part of thousands of others who have gathered across the world, essentially have people from other countries and that are there for that conference. It's a very unique experience, and although you can't get the experience by just watching it, but maybe you'll get an idea as to what happens and what goes on there. But it was the beginning. Obviously, when you're doing live streaming, you don't have a choice as to where you peek into what's going on. It's whatever's going on when it's going on. So having said all that, we're gonna get into the study a little bit tonight, and then as Brother Wallace watches it on his iPhone, then he'll let me know when we can go back into it and maybe get a little bit more of the feel of what goes on, what takes place at General Conference. The need for Nehemiahs. Continuing in our study that we've been studying the last couple weeks, again, it's kind of one of those things, the more and more I look into it, the more and more I read, just the more this thing begins to open up. And last week, as many of you know, we started out talking about the gates. There are 10 different gates that are mentioned in Nehemiah 3 as to the gates that are repaired, constructed. And we talked about the first three gates, and oh man, I got ahead of myself because I was going to ask you. Man, so, all right, quick pop quiz just to see how many of you were listening. Who can tell me what the first gate was that we talked about last week? Sheep gate, that is correct, very good. And what did the sheep gate represent? Sacrifice. Certainly in that of Jesus Christ, prophetically looking ahead to Jesus Christ, him being the door of the sheepfold. But also we talked about how that these gates represent and the way that they are built, the progression of their construction, represent the Christian life, the Christian experience. So we talked about the sheep gate and how that someone starting out, not only do they recognize the sacrifice in Jesus Christ, but then they also recognize a need for sacrifice on their own, in their own life. And so we talked about that in depth. And then gate number two, anybody remember what gate number two was? Fish gate. Very good. Anybody remember what the fish gate? Some of you are looking at your notes from last week, so you're kind of cheating, but that's all right. How many of you remember what the fish gate was about? No? Fish gate. Bringing in the fish, yes? So it's a gate that the fishermen would bring in the fish, their catch for sale. Anybody remember what it represented? Evangelism, yes, thank you. Oh, thank you. Yes, it represented evangelism. We talked about how that initially when someone comes to God, it is, statistics would show, surveys would support that during the first 2 years after their conversion, people are more evangelistic during that time than any other time. And so we talked about how that the being evangelistic or reaching out to other people, we have erred in that we think that's further along in the process when actually it's not. It's one of the very beginning things that someone should do in their Christian experience is they should start reaching to other people. And whatever state they're in, it's proper for them upon coming and understanding sacrifice to start reaching other people. So we talked about that in reference to the fish gate being the second gate. And then we talked about the third gate, which was the Old gate. And what did the old gate represent? Old, letting old people in. It was a handicap gate. No, I'm kidding. It was not. The old gate, Chrissy? Old ways, old paths. We talked about once someone comes in, they understand sacrifice. They start evangelizing. There is a need for them to start doing what makes all of us successful spiritually. Those old things that are tried and true and tested and you cannot get away from. You cannot get away from praying. You cannot get away from reading your Bible. You cannot get away from fasting. You cannot get away from those things that will strengthen you spiritually. Because we talked about last week, the next gate is the valley gate. However, as we go down through these, the 10 gates, and we talked about the first three, the sheep gate, whoa, better be careful, the fish gate and the old gate, those three gates, some of you are laughing already. See, I caught myself. I should have just moved on. Shouldn't have said anything. The sheep gate, the fish gate, and the old gate. And then we come to the valley gate. But before we do that, and again, I'm going to have fun with my little laser pointer. We talked about the sheep gate. We talked about the fish gate. We talked about the old gate. And then we talked about this long expanse. We mentioned it briefly last week because there's quite a bit of construction that takes place between the old gate and the valley gate. And a particular section that is called the broad wall. Now, initially, I thought we would go right into the next three gates. We would go right in the valley gate. I even gave you a little bit of a commercial last week talking about the valley gate and then onto the dung gate and the fountain gate. But as I began to look at this thing called the broad wall, it opened up into something completely different. And I know when we started out, I told you we're going to do an in-depth study, not only on the gates, but the walls, some of the areas that the Bible specifically mentions. And I believe, I am the type of person that I believe, and I think most of you do as well, that everything that is in the Bible for a reason. We may not know it initially. It may take years. It may happen way on down the road when we finally realize where that parallel is, where that revelation is, that understanding comes from. But and that's why I say, as I begin to study and as I begin to look at this thing called the broad wall, I begin to think, wow, this is good. This is rich. There's a reason why there's a fair amount of construction that takes place between the old gate and the valley gate. And there's significance to what this is. There's significance not only to the gates, but there's significance to the walls. There's significance to why this thing is called the broad wall and when it was originally built and why it was originally built and where it was originally built. And so I begin to look into it. I begin to study this thing called the broad wall. And as I looked into it more and more, I said, that's got to be a study pretty much all in of itself. We've got to talk about this thing called the broad wall. We've got to look at this because there's great spiritual significance in the construction of this broad wall. So let's launch out. We okay back there, Brother Walls? Okay. The broad wall. I don't know why it's going these places first because I need the scripture. Is it up there? All right, anyhow, I thought we had a scripture, but evidently it didn't save. The scripture, is it on there? Ah, there it is. The one I came up last. Nehemiah 3:8. Next unto him repaired Uzziel, the son of, and if you guys want to try to pronounce these names, feel free. I'm probably not going to do it right, and a linguistic would probably have fun with me. But anyhow, I'm going to pronounce them the best way I know how, okay? A lot of times I'll listen to my Bible and let the guy who's ever reading the Bible pronounce it, and then I'll try after him. That's some of the ways. Harhaiah of the goldsmiths, next to him also repaired Hananiah, the son of the apothecary, son of one of the apothecaries, and they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. There's this particular place, this particular section, this area of wall that is constructed between the old gate and the valley gate. And part of this place is called the broad wall. The formidable section of the wall was repaired and fortified from the old gate leading down to the valley gate. I thought it interesting that the Bible points out that there's two different trades that are mentioned in the construction of this broad wall. Two different trades. One was the goldsmiths. The Bible, gold symbolizing glory and riches, and then there was the apothecaries symbolizing anointing and worship. Two things that I think many times when we look at walls and when we talk about the things that we have, that issues of separation, if you will, those things that exist or should exist in our lives, defining God's kingdom, God's area, a lot of times we look at those things in a sense that is not spectacular. In a sense that is more restrictive or regulating in the sense of what we're not able to do or how we're not able to live. But when we look at the construction of the broad wall, the Bible notes that there were two types of trades that were instrumental, if not essential, in constructing this area called the broad wall. The goldsmiths and the apothecaries. Now, doesn't take much study in the Bible to understand that gold represents the glory of God. It was those pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. Many of them were overlaid with gold. The wood on the inside of the tabernacle was overlaid with gold, representing the splendor, the glory of God. But gold also, in a very natural sense, represented riches, wealth. I've learned, and I think many families that have come to God and have learned how to construct walls and build things in their life. And even I look back over my life and being raised in a God-fearing home, I look back over some of those things that my parents constructed in my life. Those walls, those barriers that they built and taught me to build in my life. And now I look back, and I don't look back at those things with remorse. I don't look back at those things as drudgery. I don't look back at those things as being grievous unto me. I look back at those things and I treasure those things. I treasure those things that my father and my mother helped instill in me some morals and ethics and helped build in me some integrity and character. Am I perfect? No. But the reality is my mother and my father and the people that surrounded my life had a godly influence upon me. And when I look back over it, I don't despise those things. I look at those things with a fondness and say, I am a wealthy person, not in the sense of material things, but in the sense of spiritual things. And that those individuals help construct walls and barriers in my life that I find to be very, very valuable. I thought I'd get a few more amens. But not only that, I want to do the same for my children. I want to do the same for my family. I want them to see value in separation. I want them to see value in defining the difference between who we are. I want them to understand that it is precious, that it is not something to be looked down upon. It is something to be looked up to. It is something to look at and think, wow, there's riches in that. There's a fondness in that. Because the other art, the other trade, if you will, that was represented in that was the apothecary. And the apothecaries were those that would take the time and they would mix the things which would make the incense and the anointing oil. And so I thought to myself, wow, what a representation of what it takes in the heart and the life of an individual to understand that in constructing walls, formidable defenses against the enemy, I do so with the understanding that this is precious, that there's value and there's worth here. But I also do with the understanding that not only do I find value in it, it's also an attitude of worship. It's also an attitude of praise. And there is anointing that comes in my life. And there is worship in the form of incense that is displayed in my everyday doing. Catch it. Because guess what? This wall called the broad wall, this area that was constructed, it was initially constructed by Hezekiah. And it was constructed to keep out the Assyrians. You read it, you'll find it in the Bible. I believe it's in 2 Kings. Hezekiah, area of Jerusalem has been besieged by Sennacherib and the Assyrians. And Hezekiah fortifies this area, this wall called the Broad Wall. He takes the time to build up the defenses on this area because it's this area where the Assyrians were attacking. You do a little study on the Assyrians and you will find that the Assyrians were wicked, idolatrous people who offered children as sacrifices unto God. very wicked people. And Hezekiah initially built this wall to defend Jerusalem against the Assyrians. See, now just stay with me here. Nehemiah comes back and he surveys the scene and he says, wait, we need to fortify and repair this area called the Broad Wall, the goldsmiths and the apothecaries, and we're going to do a live look-in. Maybe. While it's buffering. Okay. While it's trying to bring it up. I know my notes well enough that I can continue. So Nehemiah comes back and he sees that this area needs to be constructed, needs to be repaired, needs to be fortified. And if we go back in the history, we find out that Hezekiah initially built this wall. And this wall is a wall to keep out the Assyrians. There, right there's my buddy Ryan Crosley, who pastors a awesome church down in South Florida near Miami, and his dad was a missionary. I believe still is a missionary to Argentina.
Every church planner can tell their story.
Bilingual guy that
one
can.
One of the toughest scenes.
Well, you'll hear. Hopefully, it was working so good earlier. No? All right. While it's still loading, I apologize. I'm trying to make it special and not working so well. But I'm trying. I'm attempting to give you guys a look in a general conference.
Metro areas, years, $11,000 a month in rent. We had 1 year left on our lease, and I challenged the church. I told them, we got to sacrifice. I don't know what's coming down the road, but we got to sacrifice. We had people start giving $1,000, $3,000. In 2 months, they raised over $28,000, which gave us about $50,000 in our building fund, which is nothing in a metro city. But God saw the sacrifice of the people. And in February, I was sitting in my office on a Monday, and two people came and knocked on the door of our building. I went out to meet them. I said, hello, I'm Pastor Crosley. How can I help you? They said, we've been standing outside the door for the last 15 minutes debating whether we should knock on it or not. And I said, well, who are you? They said, well, we own a foreclosed building next door, and we lend money to churches. I said, please come on in. We went into our office and talked for 2 hours. The Holy Ghost fell in that place. They started weeping and crying. Amen. 2 days later, they said, we have a property, another property that was foreclosed on. We believe that one's for you. They said, do you want to go look at it? I said, yes, let's go look at it. We went and walked the property. When we went out there, I realized I had walked that property 3 months earlier. I didn't know who the owners were. I didn't know who to contact. But I had peeked in the windows, and I had prayed over that property. And when we walked through that property, hey man, if you can show the pictures, 4.6 acres, a church building about 10,000 square feet, a house of 3,000 square feet. Folks, they gave us the property. It's a $2 million property with $50,000 as a down payment. They paid all the closing costs. They paid back taxes. Amen. They paid over $30,000 to fix the building. Praise God, but we've got a problem. It's already full. We don't know what to do. We're going to have to go to two services. What are you putting in the envelope today? You're priming the pump. You're sending the next one. You're creating revival in North America. Praise God. Now, I got one more thing to do and I'm out of the way. I need a family, Pastor Freddie and Sister Elizabeth Zuniga. I want to tell you this. Out of all the things that we do, you sent us Out of all the things that we do, I'm so thankful for the blessings that God has given us. I'm thankful for the property. I'm thankful for the hundreds of souls that have gotten baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But you know what gives me the greatest joy? The greatest joy I have is a year ago, in April of last year, Pastor Freddie Zuniga and Sister Elizabeth. You've got to understand, this was the best couple in our church. This was my right arm in our church. This is my son's best friend. Amen. But God opened the door 2 hours away in Fort Myers. Amen. And so a year and a half ago, Pastor Freddie and Sister Elizabeth and David and Catalina and Samuel, they went over to Fort Myers. When we met these people, you would have thought the president had arrived. They were out there waiting for us. Amen. In the last year and a half, they have baptized close to 30 people. They have had over 40 people get the Holy Ghost. We already have a building over there. Amen. And a few Sundays ago, they had 112 people in attendance. Amen. We got to send the next one, folks. We got to send the next one. Because you sent me, I was able to send him. And he's going to send somebody. And they're going to send somebody. And we're going to have revival all across North America. Would you raise your hands right now up front towards here? Let's pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Somebody shout, send the next one. The ushers are getting ready to pick up your envelopes, but you need to partner with an evangelist and a church planter, and you need to take on these partners in missions. There's just two of them, folks, but we can send them to their city, and we can plant new churches, and we can see revival spread all across the United States of America. One more time, clap your hands, and let's give them to God. Amen. Let's have revival. Let's send the next one.
I've been through the storm and the rain, but the blood still stays the same. Whatever's going wrong, my warm clothes are on. I might be in a daze, but you can't have my praise. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Why don't you stand? If you could real quick just throw that PowerPoint back up for me, if possible. There's one final point that I'm going to make about this broad wall. Hezekiah originally constructed to keep out the Assyrians. The Assyrians were idolatrous people. They offered their children to a god called Molech. But when you do a little study on the wall, you will find that Isaiah mentions this wall. And he mentions it in such a sense. He says that houses were torn down and the wall was fortified. I did a little research. You can do it yourself on Google. I found out that this broad wall, modern excavation of this broad wall, reveals foundations of homes underneath. This is where he hit me. Every day. Now I have three precious souls. One goes to Doomer Middle School, the other goes to Prairie View, and the other goes to Haskin. And every day I send them off into a world who does not love God. I've got to build some walls in their life. And the walls are built at home. When I saw that, when I looked and found that modern excavate today, when they're excavating the area where the broad wall was built, they found it was built on top of homes. And I think to myself, wow, God, it's on me. Because here's the reality. True defense will find its foundation in the home. And walls will be built and fortified or weakened and torn down by what happens therein. If I'm really going to build defenses in the lives of my children, I'm going to help them with all the attacks. Because guess what? The enemy's going to attack. Unfortunately, I don't have control over what happens and what is told to them and what they experience many times when they walk out into that world and they're a part of a system that is not godly. And I thought that the wall was originally built to keep out the Assyrians who sacrificed their children to idol gods. And now I need to understand that same broad wall. It's built between the old gate and the valley gate. They're going to have valleys in their life. But I've got to instill in them the old paths. I've got to instill in them a prayer life, a time of reading their Bible, a time of sacrifice unto God, so that they learn how to build defenses in their life. And it starts at home. Lord Jesus, I love you. God, I know it's but a short lesson. I know we've been in and out with the general conference today. Place, Lord, but I hope that even in the small moments we had to talk about this, that we would realize the significance this is, God. Lord, that we would not fail to do what we can do, God, in our homes. They're a foundation of walls that must be built to help protect those we love. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Lord, we pray concerning the services that are happening in Nashville. Lord, I pray that hearts are touched, lives are changed, God, that you use this great organization, God, to continue to reach the lost with the truth, with the gospel that saves. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor, who you are and what you do, in your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. I bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.